2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Or King James says, against that day. I know what I have believed. So, kind of going back through some of my previous teachings, we know that love is the essence and beginning of all things. It's the genesis of all things. God is love. And then we know that faith works by love. But faith alone isn't enough. We know from the book of James that faith without works is dead. Works can only come about by believing. The believing is the verb of the noun faith. So if I'm believing, my feet are already moving. Okay? Believing isn't the end. Believing isn't enough. Believing is the transition to get us to where we need to be. And where we need to be is to know. Okay? I think the old Full Gospel Business Meeting, one of their favorite sayings was, I know that I know that I know that I know. See? We have to get to that place where we know. So, yes, I heard the gospel. I believed the gospel, and I was born again. Okay. But I no longer believe, because believing has done its work and brought me into knowing. See, and knowing is the only thing that will stand up against the test. Our believing, because it's always transitional, is always questionable. Mm-hmm. See, but when you come to knowing, and then one of the guys that I'm working with came and he was telling me about his boss who has a log mansion in Colorado. I think he says worth like $4 million or something. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, had thought about selling it, he put it on the market and it didn't sell. That's kind of conclusive in itself. If it don't sell, then you keep it, unless you want to give it away. Then he went out. He, had spent some time out there, and when he came back, Bill had a revelation for him, a prophecy, and he went in and told his boss. He said, "God is telling me you're not supposed to sell your home in Colorado. That is God's gift to you and to your family and for your retirement, and you are to keep that." And of course, the guy's a Christian, and he says, "You know what? God was telling me that same thing. You know, I really believe that is true." Okay, and so Bill and I kind of went on with our conversation, kind of switched on to other things, and all of a sudden I just stopped and I said, "Bill, I've got to tell you something, because your boss is going to need this." I said, "As soon as he takes it off of the market, someone, it happens to me all the time, so I know, someone is going to walk up and offer him a phenomenal amount of money for that place. Now what are you going to do? Do you know? Or do you just believe?" If he knows, he'll say, "You know what? It's not for sale. God has spoken to me that this is my place and I am to keep it." See? So that's where the knowing comes in. Now, the reason for knowing is that fear and anxiety cannot tackle it. It cannot, see, it can't come against what you know, but it can come against what you believe.
Yes.
That's interesting. So, Paul's statement here is, I know in whom I have believed. See, I am persuaded. Remember, he's talking to Agrippa, and Agrippa said, I'm almost persuaded.
Yes.
Paul said, I am persuaded. So I know what I know that I know. And because everything is getting so out of balance in the world, strange things are happening. We're going to have to know that we know. And the only way you can get there is by believing. You have to believe till you know. Okay? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. All the promises in Christ are yes. See? They're not maybe.
No.
See? If we read it and say, well, all the promises in God are maybe, then we have reason to, oh my, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what He's up to. But that's the point. I don't know. But if we know, and we know that we know, in other words, as the Scripture says, settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. Paul in Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And of course, in the other scripture, Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So once we have reckoned by, like I said, we get there by believing. Uh-huh. But the knowing is what's going to keep us secure. See, it's what's going to drive out the fears, drive out the anxieties, drive out the questions. Because everything's subject to question. Everything's subject to, I thought I knew. So we're going to have to live in the Word. Anytime that I find that my life starts to get out of balance or wishy-washy or whatever, I realize it's because I haven't been living in the Word. In fact, sometimes it's because I've been reading wonderful books. Really, really good, Spirit-filled, revelation books. But there's no substitute for the Word of God to bring about the faith that brings about the believing that brings about the knowing. First Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, who through Him believed in God. In other words, we believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God. I know that I know that I know. And the beautiful thing here is this knowing isn't a knowledge of. It's intimate relationship with. And out of that intimate relationship comes fellowship. And so we're just daily walking with Him, talking with Him, visiting with Him, having Him involved. Probably when you fell down, you didn't even have time to call on Him.
He's already there.
But He was already there. See? Isn't that neat?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so there's this confidence that comes as the result of the knowing. Mm-hmm. Jesus tells us in the last days, mm-hmm. you know, there's just going to be all kind of attacks on faith. And it's, you know, and like Ray and I have been talking, it's not going to come from the world.
No,
it's going to come from religious people.
That's right.
All kinds of attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, do you really believe? And sometimes they are so convincing. I mean, it's just like, I just don't know. Yeah. But then the Word of God comes up. Yes, I know. Because I know Him. It's kind of like I've told you, you know, with people, you know, they talk about, you know, about God meeting my needs and everything. And I always tell them, I say, well, if God dies, I'm in real trouble. If God dies, I've had it. You know, other than that, you know what? I know my God supplies all my needs. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if He runs out of money, I'm in trouble.
You know, just you, huh?
Yeah. but it's just something that I know, that I know, that I know. And so it never even comes up as a question. Fact is, it doesn't even come up as a prayer anymore. It just comes up as thanksgiving. Father, I know You're directing my life. I know You're meeting all of my needs, and I have total confidence in that. I know that You have my day planned, that You, no matter what comes at me during the day, You've already figured out the counterattack, and You've got it, you know, got this worked out. Oh, it just makes life so much easier, see?
Yeah.
But believing, you have to believe. But what I'm finding is a lot of people trying to believe. Uh-huh. See, they're just trying harder and harder to believe. Well, that won't work. Mm-mm. You know, or place faith in your faith. That won't work. Mm-hmm. The only way we can make it is to have that confidence in God, that God is who He said He is, do what He said He will do. I know that I know that I know that I know.
How close is knowing to trust?
Well, knowing brings about the trust.
Yeah.
The thing about trust is only built over time.
Okay.
See, you can't just walk up to someone and they make you a promise and you say, okay, I'll trust you, mm-hmm. because you don't know whether they're reliable or not. So mm-hmm. I trust God because I've tried many times when He's promised me something, I believed. Uh-huh. And then again and again, again and again. And now I totally trust Him because there is a history. There's a track record. Uh-huh. See, he gives us these promises, but until we see some of these promises fulfilled, it's awful hard to trust. Okay, John 3:16. Everybody memorized that, I'm sure, when they were kids. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6:40 says, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, we have the believing established. That's how we get there. Okay, now let's go to 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, past tense. Mm-hmm. and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Present tense. Mm-hmm. So the believing, John 3:16, John 6:40, leads to the knowing. Mm-hmm. So now I don't believe I have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. If I have the Son, I have the life. Move on down to the 14th verse, John 5:14. And this is the confidence. So the result of us knowing then is a confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So the believing now has led us to a knowing. Mm-hmm. See? A confidence. We're not trying to believe anymore. We're not even believing anymore. We're acting out of total confidence. God is who he said he is. See? That gives you stability. Without the knowing, everything will be a question to you. The knowing erases the question. Takes the question mark out of the equation. Drop on down to verse 19. We know that we are of God. Sounds pretty secure, doesn't it? We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. See, if all believers can come to that place, mm-hmm. nothing will ever be able to come against the church of a living God. And not only that, we will crush the gates of hell.
That's right.
Once the church knows. And so that's the reason why everything tries to keep you in that realm of transition. And never coming to the knowledge of the Son of God. If you ever come to the knowledge of the Son of God, then it is secure. Ephesians 3.
When a church comes to this point, then is there still a lot of spiritual warfare going on?
That's when the spiritual warfare starts.
Okay. All right.
That's when it starts.
All right.
Once you know who you are.
Yeah.
Because Jesus promised, 1 Corinthians 10:13, I will never allow you to be tested above what you're able. Mm-hmm. So we're basically untestable until we know. Mm-hmm. Once we know, then we can be tested. Okay. And then he says, and I will make a way of escape. The knowing is the way of escape, of course.
Okay. Okay. All right, I understand.
See, being settled in what God said about himself. Once we're settled in that, as long as people can raise questions, and that's one reason why I advise all people to get a book on the names of God. Memorize the names of God. When he says, I am this, he is that. Yes. As long as you're questioning, I am the Lord who heals you. Well, I just don't know whether God heals or not.
Yes, he does.
Or I believe God heals.
He looks ahead.
It's not enough. See?
I know.
It's when we know that his name is his name is his name is his name. And he will do exactly what he said he will do. His promises are true because he is true.
That's right.
And the word true there, of course, is from the Greek, it's the same word as real. So if God is real, then he will do it. If God isn't real, either in our belief system, or in our action, then what would be the expectation? Because you always have the question. When Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness, and he says, "If you're the Son of God," can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus was? Boy, I thought it was. I believe I am. Yeah. Ooh. You know. But there wasn't an if in him. The question mark wasn't there. If you don't have the question mark, say,
oops.
Ephesians 3:17-19. And I'll have Ray read it from the Amplified. From the King James, it says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of God." To know the love of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That knowledge there is like I know about. And so we move from I know about to I know. Okay? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The end result is once we know, then we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Get it pulled up?
Verse 17.
Starting at 17-19.
May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself.
I just can't think of anything better than that.
What amazes me is that most of the Christian doesn't even realize that we're supposed to be fulfilled.
Right.
Be just like Jesus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What am I mean?
The Colossians 2:9-10, it says Jesus was filled with the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, we too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's right. See?
Yeah, and they just don't realize that it's even possible.
They've not been taught.
Right.
No. At all.
I believe it's possible. My problem is getting all the garbage out first. Yeah.
If you get enough clean water in, the garbage will come out.
Wash it out.
It is coming.
Yeah. Hallelujah. But what God is wanting you to know is get this whole thing established in the realm of knowing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't let people draw you back into the ifs. Don't let them draw you back in through their knowledge, through their intellect, or through their unbelief. It is amazing how slick people can talk unbelief.
Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites that I hear around is, well, you never know what God's going to do.
Yeah.
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 And he's,
well, if it be your will.
I have to chuckle every time I hear that.
Or people say, I can't believe him.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And I'm thinking,
it's incredible. It has no credibility.
You wouldn't believe. You're never going to believe.
No. Oh, do you really think I would do that?
Well, I heard a sermon one time, a half hour, this guy stood up and told what he said, I don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. And he spent the entire time, he never stated one time, I believe anything.
Yeah.
The whole thing was, I don't believe.
Sad.
No. Well, I know one thing, he don't know.
No, he doesn't.
He's going backward.
Yeah.
He's not even going forward. At least the believers are going forward, but it's definitely not the end.
Yeah.
No. If you're still in the believing stage, which is a good place to be, if you're going somewhere,
yeah.
If you're going to the knowing, it's okay. Because mm-hmm. Believing's our only way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't arrive at the knowing, when everything starts falling apart, the wicked one is the same here. The wicked one's coming. You know, how many of you heard of Stradivarius, the violin maker?
Yes.
Okay. Stradivarius, everybody is, he's such a tremendous violin maker. Actually, his violins, as far as craftsmanship, is really no better than any other violin. What made his violins worth, I mean, if you can buy one, you can't. They're all on registry, but if you could buy one, it'd be probably $2 million. Mm-hmm. But what made a Stradivarius violin what it is was the wood. Stradivarius just went all over Germany looking, and there were these bluffs where the wind comes up over. And because these trees were rooted down deep, rooted and grounded in love, you see where I'm going with this, because it was rooted down deep, then the wind, these tremendous winds blew, and it just went back and forth and back and forth, and it built tensile strength into the wood. And then when he made it into a violin, when you play the violin, all that tensile strength throws that sound out.
That's cool.
Beautiful, beautiful sound. If you want to be an instrument of God, get grounded in love. Mm-hmm. Get your knowing set.
That's right.
Be rooted and grounded in love. Be grounded in the love of God. Know that you know that you know that you know. And then let the wind blow. Mm-hmm. See, don't run and hide. Let the wind blow, and he'll make you into this wonderful, wonderful instrument for his Spirit. And then you'll be a body wholly filled and flooded with God. Mm-hmm. And everywhere you go, all day, every day. You know. And people can actually sense it. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm at the gas station or Walmart or the grocery store. You know, people feel. As a matter of fact, the way I first found out about it was with animals. Animals who would just come and almost cling to me. It's like, you know, what are you after? You know, I don't have any food or treats. You know, but they could actually feel the presence of God. Now, because we have lived in the presence of God, we don't feel that.
Presence.
Like when you get in a tub of hot water, after a while it don't feel hot, even though it hadn't cooled off. You've adapted to it. See, we've adapted to it. But people will react one of two ways. Well, three ways maybe. They may ignore you. They may come scream at you. We've had them actually screaming like, "Stop preaching at me." I haven't said anything. I'm just shopping for toilet paper.
I love it.
But, you know, it's they can feel.
Yes, they can.
They can feel, you know. The wicked says in their heart, there is no God, therefore no punishment. Uh-huh. And so if you go walking by full of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're going to come under conviction. They can't deny the reality of the presence of God. And so they'll start screaming at you. Or others just come up and start asking me the most ridiculous questions. They don't even know how to ask the question. But all they want is something that I have. Something that you have.
Yes.
They want it. They don't know how to ask for it. They really don't even know what you have. But whatever it is, they want it. And so we need to be ready then to deliver. See? And when we walk around with this confidence, this knowing, we can lead them into believing. And believing into knowing. And into a confidence. I just, I shared with you about the atheist that I ministered to in Lee's Summit. They just had a dinner and they just invited a bunch of people, and there were two atheists from Columbia at the university there, and we were just visiting, and I just kind of going around talking to different ones, and there really wasn't enough furniture in the house, so some of them were sitting on the floor. He happened to be sitting on the floor over by a doorway, and I just kind of went over and sat down cross-legged and started talking to him and asked him about himself. And he said, well, you know, 4.0 student and head of the student body, and tell me all, you know. And so I talked to him about Jesus, and he said, well, I'm an atheist. And I said, oh, wonderful. I said, I love to talk to atheists. And so I began to visit with him. And I said, now, did you happen to take any chemistry or physics classes? And he said, oh, yeah, quite a few. I said, well, with that class where you required lab time. And he said, oh, yeah, you have to have lab. I said, well, you actually went in and experimented with things, you know, to prove that they worked the way the book said they worked. And he said, yeah, that's what labs are for. And I said, well, I would like to do an experiment, because the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. I said, now, this is just an experiment. It'll only take a few seconds. Are you willing to do that? I mean, if you don't believe there's a God, then nothing will happen. And so he said, well, that's fine, you know. And so I led him into prayer. His eyes got about that big, and he said, he is real, isn't he? And he accepted Jesus right there.
Oh, that is so neat.
And what was really neat about it, though, was after that experience, his buddy, who had been in the other room, came in and tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
It had already solidified.
Uh-huh.
See, in the Greek, there in your Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that confession is made unto salvation. The Greek word unto there is like solidify, like you pour liquid concrete, mm-hmm. but it hardens.
Mm-hmm.
See, and it unto. And so now he knows. Just in seconds, he'd gone from atheist to knowing. I wish a lot of Christians would do that. Because they'd never quite get to the knowing part. But the more his friend tried to talk him out of it, the more it solidified. You could take a ball bat, try to beat it out of him, and you couldn't get it out of him. See? That's the knowing.
Yes,
that's
amen.
Where we want to go.
Amen.
That's what we're after.
I seen that happen to me. I let a guy with the Lord out here at Narcotics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
It led him to the Lord, and when he prayed that prayer, and when the Spirit of the Lord came into him, he goes, "Oh, Phil," he just grabbed me.
That's real.
I love
yeah,
it.
Real. It's real.
And they call him the miracle man out there because he's just night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs to be, is a miracle.
That's right.
If people aren't
right.
born from above, see, here again, I think a part of the problem is we're trying to get people to be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get people to be believers. But the problem is they aren't born from above. They're not experiencing the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't experience the miracle, then you don't have anything to know. You're still locked into the believing.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to believe. Most of them I talk to, they say, "Well, I sure hope so."
Yeah.
I just really hope so.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I still remember the first time a total stranger. I happened to be living at Laney Bedford's house at the time, shortly after when I was going through a divorce, and she knocked on the door and told me she was one of Laney's friends, and she said, just out of the blue, she says, "Are you born again?" And I just looked at her because no one had ever asked me that.
Yeah.
Laney had talked to me about it, you know, we discussed it. But it was just like this total revelation.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "I sure am. I know it."
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
That's
neat.
It was quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Right there in Laney's house.
And it's good to be asked. To be a question.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Because we get that opportunity. Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. What if you ask somebody to get angry? What happens?
Well, the reason why they're not angry at you, they're angry at God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's the sin in their life. Mm-hmm. That's what the Psalm 10:4 is.
Yeah.
The wicked says in his heart, "There is no God, therefore no punishment."
Mm-hmm.
And so their anger, see, anger comes out of my rights.
Yeah.
Anger's always out of my rights. You're intruding on me.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been talking about with the hippie mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do whatever I want to do. You know, nobody's going to... And all of a sudden, the commander comes, who is God, see, mm-hmm. with commandments, and they just get angry because it's going crossways with them. But like Raymond and I was talking coming over, very seldom do I have worldly people get angry.
Yeah, it's the Christians.
It's the religious people and the Christians mm-hmm. that get angry, not the worldly
really?
People.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they don't know
Well, yeah. Yeah. And
they're still doubting.
Yeah, and they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof.
Yeah.
They They haven't moved into the knowing. Mm-hmm. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny the reality of the born-again experience and, you know, and all the rest of it that goes with it. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
not.
I love Bill Johnson's definition, because he calls them unbelieving believers. Mm-hmm. Unbelieving believers. Okay, the last verse that I have for you, and there were so many more, I wanted to kind of get this condensed down to something that would be presentable in a decent amount of time, but I ended up with so much, you know, had so much fun with it. John 4:42. Okay. The whole thing of the Jesus meeting the woman at the well, and, you know, and we could go through the whole story of that. But we want to jump to the end of that story, where the people, the woman had gone in and told him about Jesus, gave her testimony. They believed the testimony, come out, and they heard Jesus. And so here's what they have to say. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know.
Now, what verse is that?
That's 42. Verse 42. 42.
442.
There we are. John 442. And we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And we know. We believed. We moved. In other words, they went on out. Then they heard Jesus himself, but they didn't stay in the realm of believing. They said, now we know. Now we know. The question's gone. So if you want to live free from fear, free from anxiety, free from frustration, because frustration is always that transition stuff going on. Movement all the time. Something has to stay stable with everything else moving. And only your knowing will hold you stable with everything else moving.
That's right.
Amen?
Absolutely.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord.